Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on September 20th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent prison officer who's helped to set up a park run for inmates. We'll also hear from the Jills manager ahead of their match with top of the table Notts County this weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story, a Tunbridge Wells mum says she'll never be able to forgive her brother after a knife attack that killed her nan. Sandra Squires was found at her Southborough home last month, the day before her 83rd birthday. Her granddaughter Kaya has been speaking to our reporter Ellie Hodgson. She joins me now. Ellie, first of all, what do we know about the night Sandra was killed?
So what Kaya told me is that on the day of August the 31st, which is when the incident took place, she had actually seen her nan and her brother in the morning when she visited her nan's house, and that was quite a regular occurrence for her. And on the morning of the incident, she'd seen her brother and he had appeared angry, and she'd tried to calm him down privately outside in the garden because Kaya has three young children. And she said that she managed to calm him down. He was angry about something. And anyway, before she left, she said to her brother, you know, look after Nan. And he said that he would. And then she went on her way to a birthday party. And then the next contact she would have with her nan and brother was about 9:05 in the evening, when she had spoken to her nan and her nan had said that her brother had arrived home after being out. And her nan had said that she, you know, her brother had come home, and it's believed that an argument had been had. And at this point, Kaya advised her nan that if she felt unsafe in any way, that she should contact the police. And apparently this is a quite common conversation they would have, because John could be unpredictable, but she still had no anticipation of what was to come. Then about 10 o'clock that evening, she heard from John. John was sending her messages saying that he was sorry for being a bad brother. But again, this wasn't out of the ordinary for John. She says that frequently he would message her this when he was in a bad way, apologising about being a bad brother. This was the last time that she heard from both her nan and brother until in the morning at 4:30 a.m. when she received a knock on the door from the police informing her of the incident.
And here's what Kaya herself had to say about that night.
I woke up for some reason. I couldn't get back to sleep. Went to go get back to sleep. And then obviously that's when the officers called me, well, rung the buzzer, and then proceeded to tell me that obviously my nan was no longer here.
Kaya's also told us what it was like to have to break the news to her children.
We sat down and we told them the truth. My son didn't show any emotion. My daughter, bless her, was heartbroken, because obviously she woke up the next day and was like, Mummy, can you take my hair out ready for Nanny's birthday? For me then to have to tell her that we're not going to be able to see Nanny no more. Not only has he taken the kid's great-grandma, but he's also taken my nan, and as my partner would say, his nan. My nan was more of a nan to him than anything. I mean, yeah, okay, I could have got over my nan in years to come, but it's not just me anymore, it's my children as well. So I don't think I could ever forgive him, and I can't condone what he has done.
Now, Ellie, if I could ask you, what have we learned from the inquest?
What we now understand about the incident from the inquest opening is that a little after 11 p.m, police officers were called to the property in Southborough, and the inquest revealed that the nan, Sandra Squires, had been stabbed in the neck by her grandson, John Squires. As part of the incident, the dog Buster, who was 12 years old and had been part of the family, had also suffered injuries. Although he did survive the initial attack, about a week after the incident, he was put down based off the decision that his injuries had altered his character, and he was appearing very depressed.
Ellie, you also spoke to Kaya for a long time about Sandra and the type of woman she was. What can you tell us?
Kaya has extremely fond memories of her nan, but particularly fond memories of her nan being a great grandmother to her three children. She told me that nothing was going to stop that woman, and that although she wasn't sturdy on her feet, she still got about. She told me she was the best nan and that she couldn't fault her, and that she always had boxes of chocolate and toys for the children. She then went on to say that everybody loved her and the way that she carried on after losing her husband.
And here's what Kaya had to say.
The highlight of my nan's life was the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. When I went up there to lay flowers, everyone said that, you know, they were her world. That's what got her up every day.
Ellie, Kaya also opened up to you about some of the other tragedies that she's had to live through, even though she's only 25. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's been like for her?
So rather tragically, Kaya told me that her life has more or less just been death. So back in 2008, Kaya lost her mother. And then at the beginning of this year, Kaya also lost her dad due to COVID, pneumonia and problems with alcohol addiction. And while that loss was tragic, she obviously had to carry on for her three children. And now to suddenly lose her nan and also her brother in such terrible circumstances, and leaving her now with the cost of three funerals to pay for as she's the next of kin, as you can imagine, for a 25-year-old, that's extremely an extreme amount of responsibility to have on your shoulders.
And finally, Ellie, I know Kaya has started a fundraiser to help pay for the funeral of her nan. Can you give us some details?
In order to give her nan a fitting send-off that she deserves, with the additional extras that Kaya might not otherwise be able to afford, Kaya's now started a GoFundMe, and that's with the hope of being able to get real flowers for the funeral. She says that her nan loved real flowers, particularly orchids, and she wants to be able to give her nan the funeral that she deserves. They're going to be giving her a send-off from her home, because although she died there in such tragic circumstances, that was where she had lived for the past 50 years. So at the moment, the GoFundMe is online. At the moment, around £500 have been raised, but they're looking to towards a target of £3,500, and that is just to make sure that she can give her nan the funeral she deserved. Kaya said that the GoFundMe will be paid to Kempster and Sons funeral directors in Tunbridge Wells, and she said, if it wasn't for my friends, my children and my partner, then I probably wouldn't be here myself.
Thanks, Ellie. If you want to donate to Kaya's GoFundMe, you can find the details in the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
An investigation is underway after an explosion destroyed a bungalow near Ashford. A woman was flown to hospital after it happened on Canterbury Road in Charing yesterday morning. The area was cordoned off for several hours. We're told a dog that walked from the rubble was taken into care by vets. A manhunt is underway following an alleged armed robbery at a post office in Whitstable. It's reported a man with a knife assaulted staff at Swalecliff Post Office in Herne Bay Road yesterday morning. He then fled with cash and postage stamps. You can read a full description of the suspect at Kent Online. A sixth person has now been charged by police investigating drug and gun offences in Kent. The 59-year-old was detained in London and is accused of several offences, including possessing an offensive weapon and intending to supply amphetamine. An investigation started after a car without a number plate was stopped in Greenhithe in July, and later searches uncovered cocaine, cannabis and a handgun. A Margate man who kicked down the door of his ex-girlfriend's home in a row over text messages has been fined. A court heard Jamie Harding forced his way into the property to confront her earlier this month. The 23-year-old from Trinity Square in the town admitted offences, including criminal damage. A former Gillingham footballer has been charged after drugs were seized at Stansted Airport. J. Emmanuel Thomas was arrested after 60 kilos of cannabis arrived on a flight from Bangkok. The 33-year-old, who lives in Scotland, is accused of orchestrating it and is due in court later.
Kent Online News.
A Kent dad is calling on the government to urgently review free school meals as a charity calls for even more children to get them. Child Poverty Action Group say 150,000 youngsters in the southeast would be eligible if criteria was updated to match the current cost of living. Nicola has been speaking to Dominic Waters from Canterbury, who says work needs to be done before it's expanded.
I think that this report, unfortunately, focuses on the children that aren't currently on free school meals, while the most disadvantaged children, like my daughter and other kids across the country who are in receipt of free school meals, there needs to be a lot of work done, because the amount hasn't gone up in over a decade, while the prices of food has gone up, and free school meals aren't free, because my daughter will often text me, Dad, can you top up my fum? Because she hasn't got enough via free school meal mechanism to pay for a healthy lunch. So I think there needs to, moving forward, even though that there are children that are outside that maybe should be qualified for free school meals, I think the focus needs to be moving forward on the most disadvantaged kids who are currently on free school meals and are struggling to meet their nutritional needs. I would even go further and say that the kids that are currently on free school meals often live in food deserts, environments where it's hard to access healthy food and fresh food, like my council estate, which is a food desert in the Garden of England. And so these children come from, you know, vulnerable families that are tackling intersecting inequalities around food, access to fuel, access to healthy, fresh nutrition. And I think that the more work needs to be focused on those children's and the failure, the current failures of the free school meal system, rather than the expansion of it, because it's a system that needs to be informed by voices of people that actually have living experience of being on free school
So
meals.
that's a really interesting point about the amount that you're getting for this. How much do you get at the moment, and how long has it been that level?
It's been £3 a day, so but only for weekdays for my daughter for over 10 years. That is not enough with the cost of living increases for schools to provide healthy, nutritious food for young kids that are coming from environments drenched in poverty.
I know we've spoken before about the quality of food, and you've mentioned that as well. So you sound like you're really concerned your daughter isn't getting good quality food because that money hasn't gone up, and she's having to buy what she can afford at school.
Definitely, and go without sometimes, where because as it is, the free school meals, often the parents are on state benefits, which has been shown doesn't afford you enough for the daily essentials. So even children that are accessing perhaps lower quality food, because the £3 awarded to the school a day isn't enough for them to provide stuff that isn't of a processed nature or junk food nature, and then the kids are returning to environments of poverty where fresh food isn't accessible, where you don't have enough on your gas and electric to cook, and it makes it it's they're they're facing real intersecting inequalities rather than just they can't afford enough for their lunch.
The government say a task force has been set up to tackle child poverty, including breakfast clubs in every primary school. Residents of a block of flats in Maidstone say they weren't told by emergency services a fire had broken out on one of the balconies. Six fire engines were called to Midhurst Court in Moat Road, but the building's stay put policy meant not everyone was evacuated. Building bosses say the emergency fire safety plan is in place as the walls, floors and doors are designed to give appropriate protection. House of Fraser at Bluewater is set to close. It's been one of the three key stores at the shopping centre since it opened 25 years ago, but is understood to be shutting at the end of November. It's rumoured Next are due to take on the site. A county-wide restriction on the movement of farm animals has been brought in after a rise in cases of blue tongue. The viral disease was found in cows in Canterbury in November before spreading to the Sandwich Bay area in December and later to Faversham. A temporary control zone now covers the whole of Kent to reduce the risk of it spreading further. A Folkestone pub has closed just a year after it was taken over by a new owner. The owner of the Master Brewer on Broadmead Road has blamed high rent and beer prices for not being able to turn a profit. Shepherd Neame say they're talking to interested parties about taking it over.
Kent Online News.
The Kent Online podcast has been hearing about a Kent prison that has set up its own park run. The 5K event takes place every week and is a way for inmates to take a break from prison life and enjoy some fresh air and exercise. They run around a special course that's been set up in the grounds of HMP Swaleside. I spoke to Danny Pierce, who was their physical education instructor.
Our park run's been amazing. So initially, I wasn't too keen on it, to be honest. I didn't think there would be a large take-up in this prison. Everyone wants to crash weights or play football. So my initial thinking was, yeah, we'll give it a go. We'll try and be our best at anything. But, park run just wasn't something that I feel would take off. However, we've done some planning, and the benefits have been brilliant, and I'm a real advocate for it now and trying to assist other prisons in getting it running as well.
So how does it work? Have you got a circuit that you can run around? Logistically, how does it all work?
So we created a 1 kilometre track, basically, and it goes a little bit into the grounds of the prison around a football pitch. And we run that five times for the 5K park run. So we have members of staff that obviously facilitate the event, but we have quite a lot of prisoners, like volunteers. So exactly the same as in the community, the event probably wouldn't run if it wasn't for the local volunteers. Well, that's exactly the same for us. So we have quite a lot of our prisoners come out, have no intent in running, but if it wasn't for them, we couldn't run it. So they'll do things like help the guys count their five laps, assist us with the timekeeping, make sure someone doesn't take the wrong route because it can be a little confusing. So it has been amazing, actually. It's been amazing. We've been able to target some of those prisoners that just don't come to the gym. So we've got a 70-year-old that comes out. We've got a few 60-year-olds, and sometimes they walk, but it does create that sort of, it's in prison, but it's away from prison. It's away from the wings. It's in the fresh air. Another example is we've got a guy that could barely even walk up the stairs. So he doesn't actually take part in the official part run because he can't quite finish the 5K yet, but we still let him out and we've just set short targets. So the first month is you just try one lap. He's currently on four laps and we're aiming for at the end of this year, he will complete his first park run. So just those small targets that we can set through park run have been amazing for some of our men, some of our prisoners. And it's been a real positive for us.
And with these links into the community, once they're released at park run, even finding a local gym or continuing a running regime, is it sort of hoped that it could help them sort of settle in the community and their chances of reoffending would be lessened because they have a sense of place and a sense of purpose, I suppose?
Oh, yes, definitely. And so to add to the recreational side of it, we hope that the skills that we can give help reduce reoffending. So someone that's used to only lifting weights, we might then play volleyball with. Not only that, we'll teach them the skills, the rules. So we hope that, yes, the park runners go out into the local park run, but the people that lift weights, which is generally something that you only do in one or twos, it might get those guys going out there into team sport. And just trying new things, really.
There's been a mixed response to a traffic-free zone around a Darford school as part of a trial to improve safety. Cars are banned from Chatsworth Road during drop-off and pick-up times at Holy Trinity C of E Primary, and there's a consultation to see if it should be made permanent. School streets are also in place in parts of Medway, with the scheme in the towns set to expand to 9 other areas. There's another chance to see the very latest plans for a new road link between Kent and Essex. The £9 billion Lower Thames crossing from Gravesend to Tilbury has been in the planning stage for the past 15 years. The government will announce next month if it can definitely go ahead. A consultation event takes place at Chalk Parish Hall from 3 this afternoon. A former Kent MP has revealed he's considering standing in next year's county council elections. Conservative Adam Holloway lost his seat for Gravesham at July's general election to Labour's Dr. Lauren Sullivan. He's been approached about being a candidate in May 2025 when all 81 seats at the local authority are up for grabs.
Kent Online News.
Building work is getting underway on one of the first so-called bison bridges in Kent. They'll allow the UK's only wild bison herd to cross roads and access 200 hectares of West Blean and Thorndon Wood in Canterbury. It's costing £1 million. The animals have been introduced to boost biodiversity. There's a bit of a mystery over creepy dolls that have appeared in woodland near Ashford. The porcelain toys wearing dresses and shoes have been spotted by visitors to Kingswood in Chollock. It's not clear who put them there or why. You can see pictures at Kent Online. The University of Kent has been named 6th best in the southeast on a new Good University Guide. It's been compiled by The Times and puts Oxford top in the region, followed by Southampton. Canterbury Christchurch is 15th. A rare species of bumblebee has been discovered in South Kent. The shrill carder is one of the rarest in the UK and hasn't been seen in this part of the county for more than a decade. A conservation project has been taking place to improve habitats, which it's hoped will boost populations. And the Sabutio World Cup is taking place in Tunbridge Wells over the next 3 days. The iconic tabletop game was invented in the town back in the 1940s. The tournament's being held at Royal Victoria Place and the Sports Centre.
Kent Online News.
And now, with a look at what's on across the county this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
If you're in the mood for some decent food and drink this weekend, then you're in luck. Kent has got two huge festivals coming your way over the next couple of days. This year's Canterbury's Cooking Festival returns to the city's Dane John Gardens from today until Sunday, with street food stalls, cooking demonstrations and local produce. There's also a new beer and cider tent as part of this year's festival, where you can enjoy Kent's best craft beers, real ales and fruity ciders. And if you're a card-carrying camera member, you can get £1 off your pint. And that's not the only place you can get your hands on some booze this weekend, as the Bavarian Weekenders return to Folkestone Harbour from this Saturday. The free Oktoberfest-inspired event returns to the seaside town for 3 weekends of German beer, Bratwurst sausages and umpa music. And there's also family activities and DJs playing throughout the day. And if you're looking for a day out that the whole family, even the pets, can enjoy, then you might want to head down to Margate for the Dreamland Dog Day on Sunday. There will be agility courses, dog classes, photography sessions, gift stalls, a food court and film screenings on the scenic stage. And of course, there'll be plenty of dog treats on offer too. Now, something for the music lovers. This weekend, the Thunderdome is taking over a Kent park. The Tribute Festival is bringing mosh pits and guitar riffs to Moat Park on Saturday, with a packed lineup of tributes to the likes of Metallica, Slayer, Ozzy Osbourne and more, all with stadium sound and lighting effects. There are still a few tickets left, so make sure you don't miss out on your rock and roll fix. And speaking of tickets, there's still time to book yours for a new musical that's coming to Kent on its first tour next week. Only Fools and Horses, the musical, kicks off its nationwide run with six nights at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley from Monday, starring comedian Paul Whitehouse as Grandad. The show has just enjoyed four successful years on the West End, and it's now bringing the Trotters and their yellow three-wheeled van to theatres all over the country. Finally, one of the biggest art exhibitions in the UK is opening up this weekend for a special limited run. Acclaimed artist Ralph Steadman is showcasing six decades of incredible work, from his gonzo pieces with journalist Hunter S. Thompson to his illustrations for children's books like Treasure Island and Alice in Wonderland. The display, named Inkling, is Ralph's first UK exhibition in 10 years, and it opens at the historic Dockyard in Chatham from this Saturday until the 17th of November. So that's just about it for this week, and now I'm off to see the new exhibition at the Dockyard, and I can't wait to tell you all about it. Whatever you get up to over the next couple of days, I hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a battle between first and second place in League Two this weekend. Gillingham are away at Notts County, with the hosts currently sitting in the top spot. The Gills will be hoping to build on last week's 3-0 win against Tranmere Rovers. Here's manager Mark Bonner.
Yeah, two form teams. I think they've won four on the bounce, obviously. Home form's been good. I watched them home to Fleetwood a few weeks back before we played Fleetwood when they played on a Sunday. So I've seen them live there this season. But what we know about the place is wonderful stadium. Pitch is in immaculate condition, I think the best in the league. I'm expecting there'll probably be 11,000 at the game. It'll be a brilliant atmosphere, will be really well followed. Two good teams, they've got bags of talent in theirs and are confident. We're in a confident place ourselves. So, yeah, a really good game. I think a good test for us, good marker for us, good challenge for us away from home in what's been a tough start in terms of opposition. But it's set up to be a really good game, and it's certainly one of them games that you should be looking forward to and excited. So early on in the season, when there's obviously less consequence now than if it was game 40 potentially, but at the same time, I think it'd be a really good challenging game and one to look forward to.
I think 900, possibly 1,000 Gillies fans will be going to Meadow Lane. When you and the guys hear figures like that, how does that kind of make you feel when you know you're going to be backed very, very significantly?
Yeah, I think we have been in all the games, and obviously the distance dictates a little bit how many you get there, but I think that number's exceptional. They had a brilliant away day there last year. We've got to try and give them another one this year. But yeah, I'm not surprised that there's really good numbers. We've got good support. I know that will continue to build, as I've said from the start. And yeah, we're really looking forward to what will be a challenging afternoon, but one that these are games in the season that you have to just be, that they don't require motivating players for. You know what the test is, you know what the challenge is, you know what the opportunity is. And we want to continue the good form we're on ourselves.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Ethan were missing on Saturday due to suspension. Does anybody else miss out? Did anybody else come in?
Available for the game, I don't think there's any differences. Can't remember what you do and don't know, but what has been good this week is one or two that were touch and go from Saturday are looking good. Throughout this week, I've seen Aaron Rowe on grass, Tim Dieng, Jake Turner, Connor Masterson, at different times. Obviously, you and Nev, those sorts of boys are back into the rhythm of training plenty. So it feels like the squad's getting there. Some of those are still a little bit of time away from playing. But I think we've got pretty much the same group to pick from, other than obviously Ethan because of the suspension. But all being well, he'll be back with us next week. And hopefully we can keep building the numbers that are available to pick from, because when we get everybody out there, we know we've got a really strong team to pick from. And right now, we've got a quite confident group going into the game. They've had a really good week. They've been brilliant in training. it only counts if it follows you on the pitch on match day course. But with what we're trying to build and how we're trying to work. Been really pleased with them this week.
Kick-off tomorrow is at 3. And briefly to cricket, if you missed the result yesterday, Kent have been relegated from Division 1 of the County Championship. It's after they lost by 10 wickets to Nottinghamshire within 3 days at Canterbury. Their final game of the season is at Durham starting next week. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and while you're on the website, why not check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker?
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.